Okay, last week, where were we at? What book were we in? Book of the Bible.
What book?
It's been a week. What book of the Bible were we in?
The Bible.
What book of the Bible? Wow, man, we don't even remember what book we were in last week.
It was
Daniel.
Daniel. I was literally about to say all right. Daniel, bro.
We were in the book of Daniel. What were we talking about? We talked about Daniel, all right, and what did Daniel do? What just happened? Nebuchadnezzar, who is he?
Oh, yeah, Daniel went to Nebuchadnezzar's thing with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and he didn't want to eat the king's meat, so he ate pulse, and then he got big and strong, and yeah.
Boom, it clicked for Lincoln right there. All right, so Nebuchadnezzar's the king, correct? Yeah. All right, the main focus that we had is, yes, they did not want to partake of the king's meat and wine. Daniel purposed in his heart that he was not going to defile his body before it even the temptation even arose. He purposed in his heart that he wasn't going to partake of the king's meat and wine. He was going to, you know, save himself, protect his body. And he listed the four people in the chapter. Link did for us. But we had Daniel, and he had buddies. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego is the Babylonian names that were given to them. Does anybody remember what their actual names were? Yes. Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, all right? In chapter 1, a lot of the focus was on Daniel, okay? We're going to be in Daniel if you guys haven't learned this, so turn to the book of Daniel, you can start working there. In chapter 1, a lot of the focus was on Daniel. And we didn't talk about very much about the other three, other than we knew that they walked alongside of him. When he purposed in his heart, he's like, I'm not going to defile my body with the meats of King Nebuchadnezzar. These guys also said they would not partake of that. And when they asked the guards to prove them, we know that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, Hananiah, Azariah, and Mishael, they did not defile their bodies either. Okay? So today, what we're going to look at, yesterday was our identity in Christ, or last week was our identity in Christ. We were looking at, purpose in our hearts. This week, we're going to be talking about who are we surrounding ourselves with. Go ahead. What do you got? Daniel, chapter 3 is where we're going to be. Book of Daniel. All right? So we're preparing to go back to school, and the question I have for you guys is, who are we surrounding ourselves with? All right? Have any of you ever done something just because everybody else is doing it?
Yes.
Yeah.
All right? The topic that comes to mind for me is 6-7. 6-7, all right? Hold on. Where did it come from? Who started it? For me, this is what I think. Maybe you know, all right? Somebody said it at one point, and then everybody else was like either making fun of that person and or joining along with them. But it started to go around. And now people say it. Anytime they hear it, everybody just kind of perks their ear up, and they're like, you know? Okay, so are we doing things just because everybody else is doing them? You know? And then my follow-up is it easier to stand alone, all right, to be by yourself, or to do things that you believe in when others are standing with you? All right? We saw last week that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, Mishael, and Azariah, that when Daniel purposed in his heart, his buddies, his friends, they did so also. Probably made it a lot easier for Daniel to stand his ground. All right? So that's going to be our focus today. Being a Christian kid at school can be a lonely gig, all right? Being a Christian kid at 4-H or whatever it is that you're doing, if you're homeschooled, can be a lonely gig. But, man, when you have somebody else doing it with you, when you got somebody that's there supporting you and walking alongside of you and willing to stand their ground with you, it makes things a lot easier. So we're going to be in Daniel chapter 3. There's a lot of reading today. We're going to read the entire chapter. So for the sake of time, I'll do a lot of the reading today, all right? Daniel chapter 3, verse 1, all right? Nebuchadnezzar, the king, made an image of gold, whose height was 60 cubits, and the breadth thereof 6 cubits, and he set it up in the plain of Dura, in the province of Babylon. Then Nebuchadnezzar, the king, sent together the princes, the governors, and the captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the provinces to come to the dedication of the image which Nebuchadnezzar, the king, had set up. What do you think he's setting up? What does it sound like to you guys?
An idol.
An idol. All right. Then the princes, the governors, the captains, the judges, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the provinces were gathered together in the dedication of the image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up, and they stood before the image that he had set up. Then an herald cried aloud, "To you it is commanded, O people, nations, and languages, that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king has set up. And whosoever faileth not to do, or not down in worship, whoso falleth not down in worship, shall the same hour be cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, at that time, when all the people heard the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and all kinds of music, all the people and the nations and the languages fell down and worshipped the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. Wherefore, at the time, certain Chaldeans came near and accused the Jews. They spake and they said to the king Nebuchadnezzar, O king, live forever. Thou, O king, hast made a decree that every man shall hear the flute, or hear the sound of the cornet, harp, flute, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music, shall fall down and worship the golden image. And whoso falleth not down and worshipeth, that he should be cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace." All right, pause. What is taking place? Nebuchadnezzar set up what?
A image of gold.
Yeah, an idol, though, for the people. Yes, good. Go ahead. What else is happening? Yeah, when music plays, everybody's supposed to fall down and worship this idol. Go ahead.
And if they don't, they get tossed into a burning fiery furnace.
And if they don't, they're tossed into a burning fiery furnace. Okay. Sounds very painful, yes. Being cast into fire does not sound enjoyable. Agreed. All right. Nebuchadnezzar sets up this idol for them to worship. All right. All right. So we're going to continue to read on. Verse 12. And it says, "There are certain Jews whom thou hast set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego." Right. We know these names. "These men, O king, have not regarded thee. They serve not thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up." All right, so what's taking place here?
Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego don't want to worship his things, his gods,
the idol. Yeah, they don't want to worship these idols. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are like, no, it's not happening. And we're going to see that this bothers Nebuchadnezzar. He's irate, and we know what the rule is. So the first point that I want to make today is that good friends are going to share the same convictions as you guys, all right? We saw this last week when they were defiling their body with the king's food. They wouldn't do so. And in verse 12, we see that they're accused of not wanting or not falling down and worshiping the false idols like Nebuchadnezzar. For us, applicationally, you know, having people in our corner, like I said earlier, having people that are going to have the same convictions about things in life make it easier. We can use just things that we believe in and not use church as an example, but just even having friends that walk the same line that we, that feel the same way about certain things that we do, it makes things easier, right? We can all agree to this. You don't hang out with somebody because their beliefs or opinions are just completely opposite of yours. They like Raising Cane's and you think Raising Cane's is trash. You don't just hang out with them because of that. I mean, that might be a small example, but having friends that have the same convictions that we share is huge. So, in verse 12, they're accused of not worshiping the idol of Nebuchadnezzar that had given them to worship. And we're going to read on. In verse 13, we're going to read 13 probably through like 17. 13, it says, "Then Nebuchadnezzar, in his rage and fury, commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, Is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, do ye not serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? Now, if ye be ready, that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the image which I have made. Well. But if ye worship not, ye shall be cast the same hour into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you unto, or you out of my hands? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. All right. They say they're not going to do it. All right. They have made this decision together that they're not going to fall down and worship this false idol. All right. And what does Nebuchadnezzar do? Go ahead. Yeah, well, so he gives him another chance. He's like, listen, all right? Is it true that you guys will not worship my idol? And he gives him another chance, all right? And we said, like, we want to have friends that have the same convictions as us. But, like, all together, there's three of them. They had to make this decision together. But we're not going to do this thing, okay? One of them could have easily just said, like, listen, let's just bow this one time. Let's appease his desire for us to worship the idol, you know? Let's just bow this one time and move on. And they could have done that. They could have made that decision. But together, they had to make a decision to say, no, we're not doing it. We're not doing it. And they're careful when they have to answer him back on this fact. They put thought to it. Imagine when he gives them this opportunity. Imagine if one of them just says that to the others. Let's just do it. Let's just bow this one time. It might make them question their thoughts, their beliefs. Imagine what? Their friendship. Yeah. We face some of these same things in life. When you guys are going to school or whatever. All of you can probably say, when there's more than one of you together, you're hanging out with a friend, maybe there's three of you. All right. You guys want to go do something. Three of you say you want to go eat at McDonald's, but one person wants to go to Wendy's or Arby's. And they're like, I got to have the fries, all right? But two of you want to go to McDonald's. You're sitting there and it causes strife. It causes an argument.
Two beats one.
Two beats one, yes, all right. But real friends aren't going to ask us to compromise. Real friends aren't going to want us to do something that they know don't align with us, all right? These friends made the pact together that they're going to stand on business. They're going to do what they believe and they're going to stand on that, all right? And we're going to read on. And listen to what happens, all right? They all respond to him, and they say, if it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. All right? What do they say to him? Go ahead.
They said, if you do throw us in the furnace,
yeah.
But if our God doesn't save us, then we will not.
Yeah. Yeah. They say our God's going to deliver us. Our God is great enough that go ahead, cast us into the fiery furnace. We're not going to compromise. We're not going to change our mind. We're not going to worship this idol. We're not going to worship your gods. All right. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us out of the fiery, from the burning fiery furnace. They're like, listen, our God will deliver us. He's going to protect us from that fiery furnace. But if he doesn't, just know, we didn't stand or we didn't worship your idols. We didn't worship your gods. All right? Like I said, a real friend isn't going to pressure us to do something they know we shouldn't be doing. They will stand behind us even when it may not be easy. Even when, you know, what are the consequences? Well, we're going to read on. All right? Verses 19 through 23 now. We're going to see what the consequences for their actions are. Then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury, and the form of his visage was carnage against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore, he spake and commanded that they should heat the furnace, one, 7 times more than it was wont to be heated. And he commanded, we're going to read all the way through 23, all right? And he commanded the most mighty men that were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and to cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Then these men were bound in their coats and their hosen and their hats and their other garments and were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent and the furnace was exceeding hot, the flame of fire slew those men and took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound in the midst of the burning fiery furnace. All right?
That sounds hot.
So because they disobeyed, all right, Nebuchadnezzar, what were the consequences that they had to face?
They got choked in the furnace.
Got cast into the fire, all right? And see how Nebuchadnezzar, he's so mad, he says to heat the fire 7 times more than it ought to be heated. All right? And who does he have bind them? Who does it say that he has bind them? Go ahead.
The mightiest men in his army.
The strongest of the strong for them. Alright? And what happened to those guys?
They died.
They got so close to fire. Just close to fire. They weren't even in the fire. They got close to fire and it burned them up. They died. The mightiest of men. And it says that that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego fell down to their knees in the fire. Applicationally, okay? The point, I guess, I'm trying to get at and what we see here is that doing what is right isn't always easy. Like, they knew the consequences. Nebuchadnezzar laid it out for them. He's like, if you don't do what I tell you to do, you're going to die. All right? Standing up for God or what you believe in, it's going to come at a cost. For these guys, the cost was their lives. Or is going to be their lives. For us, it can be like friendships, popularity, being left out and lonely. Like, everybody's going to do something, you know, it sounds like it might be fun, but you know it's not glorifying to God. You know there's going to be temptation or sin or something there that you shouldn't be partaking in. Living your life for God is a whole heck of a lot better than than fitting into the world and like not having it with you. You know, walking alongside God and it can be lonely and all that, but it's a whole heck of a lot better than not having him in your corner when you need him there. I can assure you of that. Choosing people to walk alongside of you when things are hard, like these are the kind of people that we need to be surrounding ourselves with. A friend that's going to be there when we know there's going to be tribulation, when we know that people might mock us because we brought our Bible to school, or we prayed at lunch, or we didn't want to go. They didn't come to the whatever event or thing or whatever it will be. Okay, so we're going to continue on. They're casting the fire now. We can see this. It says that they fell down bound in the midst of the burning fiery furnace. A furnace that was so hot that it killed the men that were just trying to throw them in there. Alright, we're going to read 24 through 27, alright? Then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished and rose up in haste, and spake and said unto his counselors, did not we cast 3 men bound into the midst of the fire? Then answered and said unto the king, true, O king, this is true, you're right. And he answered and said, lo, I see 4 men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt. And the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. Then Nebuchadnezzar came near to the mouth of the burning fiery furnace and spake and said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, ye servants of the Most High God, come forth and come hither. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came forth of the midst of the fire. And the princes, the governors, the captains, the king's counselors, being gathered together, saw these men upon whose bodies the fire had no power, nor was a hair on their head singed, neither were their coats changed, nor the smell of fire even on them. All right? Who was the fourth person? We're getting ahead of ourselves. Cart before the horse. The guy's in the fire. What surprises him? What shocks him? Go ahead.
That he sees 4 men when they spent through.
Yeah. Ben, stop doing that, Ben. Okay? Yes. There's 4 men when there should be 3. But what else? They were bound, it told us in the last verse, and they're walking about. Let's give some other people. I know there's other people in the class. What else? What else astonishes him? Go ahead. They weren't getting burned. They were in agony. He's like they're not screaming. There's nothing happening. He sees a fourth person and he's astonished. Who is the fourth person in the fire?
As he said, it is the Son of God.
Jesus. The fourth person in the fire is Jesus. All right. These guys were tossed in a fire for standing up for what they believed in because they knew God was capable of delivering them. They tell us this in verse 17. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. They stood up for what they believed because they believed that their God was great enough to deliver them from the fire. The picture for us is that God is willing to stand for those that stand for them, for Him. You know? We know that being a Christian in a world full of people that, you know, are of the world isn't going to be easy. Even if we have godly friends, is it going to be easy? And even if we have godly friends standing in our corner, like we have a good group of Christian friends following us, the road still may not be easy. These guys had the same beliefs. They had the same convictions. His friends were with him, or they stuck together through their convictions, you know? But the road might not be easy. But as we saw, God was with them, even when it wasn't. We're never alone. When you have an indwelling of the Holy Spirit, God is with us always. So these guys come out of the furnace, and everyone is astonished. It tells us all the people that are there. Princes, governors, captains, kings, counselors, just all the kings, I guess, the best of the best, the goats. They come out of the furnace. It says they don't even smell like smoke. There's not a singed hair on their body. Their clothes that they were wearing, still intact. Alright, three of the mightiest men were carrying them up, bound, and these guys burn up, just getting close to the fire. These guys are in the furnace, and not even a singed hair on their head. Seven times more than the fire ought be heated, is what Nebuchadnezzar told them in his rage. Alright? So let's read on. We get to verse 28. Huh? I'm gonna keep reading. We're at 10:15. We're gonna keep reading, alright? 28. It says, then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who hath sent his angel and delivered his servants and trusted in him and hath changed the king's word and yielded their bodies, that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own. Therefore, I make a decree that every people, nation, language, which speak anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut into pieces, and their house shall be made of a dunghill, because there is no other God that can deliver after this sort. Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. They're tossed into this fire because they refuse to compromise. They're not going to bow to the gods and the idols of Nebuchadnezzar. The cost was to be their lives, and they believed, as we saw in verse 17, their God would deliver them from the depths of the furnace. But if he didn't, then everybody would know. Like, I still didn't bend my knee to your idols. I didn't worship your gods. And Jesus is there with them. The whole time, these guys walk out of the fire. They're unscathed. And then what happens to them in the next few verses? After they come out of the furnace, what happens? Go ahead.
Nebuchadnezzar promises to serve their God, and then he...
Yes.
And then he makes the decree of all the people that in their language say bad things about the God shall be cut in pieces.
And made of a dunghill. Anybody else got anything you want to add? You guys, quietness. I'm in the back of the room over back there. No? Alright. Are you guys at least tracking with what's happening here?
Yeah.
Alright. This is probably a familiar story to most of you, but we're tracking. We're seeing what's going on. Alright. Nebuchadnezzar is like, blessed be their God. There's no God that can deliver after this sort. Like, nobody can do what this God just did to these guys. All right, and he makes a decree and he promotes the guys, like Lincoln told us. All right, in the province of Babylon. And in my Bible, I don't know if any of you have a study Bible. The thing that's cool to me, and that you guys might find pretty neat yourself, is when I read it says, this is Nebuchadnezzar's decree and the promotion of the three Hebrew youths. Just think about that. It's pretty neat. What do we know from last week? What do we know when we did the recap? All right, Babylon. All right, these guys are taken into captivity from Babylon. Israel is. And Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, what is their role in the kingdom? What are they to be? Go ahead. Ben?
Speak the Bible.
Speak the Bible. Go ahead.
Slaves.
Servants. Slaves. I need to check your guys' arms. I need to check your guys' arms. Do I need to start tossing candy for answers? Will that get some arms in the air?
Oh, yes.
No. You guys are good. All right. So they're to be servants. All right. What is a servant? To like their position in society. I'm calling somebody else. Position in society. What do they do? Go ahead. Somebody. What is a servant? What do they do?
They serve.
Yeah, they serve. All right. So. Is that somebody that you think society would go up to get answers?
No.
To look to for, you know, when they have a problem, a solution. They don't have a high standing. They don't have the job title that some of the people that came and sat, you know, princes, governors, captains, kings, counselors. They don't have that title that the other people have. But what does Nebuchadnezzar do for Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Somebody else. What does he do for them? We just read about it. They come out of the fire, and what does he do? Not paying attention then. He promoted them over everybody in the province of Babylon, all right? The fact that they were willing to stand up for God and their faith and in him, that he would deliver them, the fact that they didn't compromise to what Nebuchadnezzar to realize the power that God has, the same can be said for us. Somebody's always watching. Whether you think so or not, somebody's watching. A friend, a peer, somebody at school that you don't even know, you don't even associate with, a teacher, somebody is always watching you, observing, seeing what you do, how you act. They just all. And when you decide that you're going to follow Christ and at school, when you're going to be the Christian kid or a believer, then you don't really know what kind of influence your actions are going to have on somebody. You might not know it right away. It might be several years down the road when you know, after school's even out, when you have an impact on somebody's life that you didn't even know you had an impact on. There are kids that I can remember, and I've been out of school for some time, but kids at my school that I can remember that they were just different than everybody else. They didn't do what everybody else was doing. People that were going to parties or cussing or doing whatever it is at school that, like, we knew at the time that we shouldn't be doing. Like, you guys all know. You have an understanding. Like, I know I shouldn't be doing that thing. These kids just, they didn't do that stuff. They weren't weird. They weren't awkward. They just didn't speak much, or they kept to themselves, you know. I really won't even honestly say that any of them were Christian, so to speak. But they just knew that what they were doing, what other people were doing, they just weren't a part of that. That being said, we can go back to the message, the title of today's message, and just ask ourselves, who are we surrounding ourselves with? When you guys are choosing a friend or people that you're going to hang around with, are you choosing people that are going to encourage you in your walk? Like, think about your friend group. Think about the people that you hang out with. Do my friends encourage me in my walk, or do they... Do they drag me down? Do they make me do things of the world? All right. This is the question for you to think about as we're getting ready to head back to school. Do your friends stand up for your convictions also, even when it isn't easy? Do their views align with your views? You know, I'm going to take my Bible to school. My friend's going to take his Bible to school as well. Or I'm going to pray before I eat my lunch. They're going to pray as well. All right. Ask yourself this when thinking about the people that you hang out with. And then, do they help me walk my walk? Do they build me up? Are they in my corner? Is this somebody that I know, like, when I get knocked down, that they're going to lift me back up? They're going to bring me, you know, to my feet. If the people that you're surrounding yourself with or, you know, around aren't doing these things, then consider your friendships. Like, consider your group of friends. It doesn't mean you have to not associate with that person at all. Doesn't mean you have to not talk to them at school, but maybe make it known to them that, hey, this is how I'm going to act this year. I'm going to be this way. I'm not going to cuss. I'm not going to do this. I'm going to stand on this before the school year even starts. All right. Doesn't mean you don't have to associate with that person, but just see God, choose to wear your faith on your sleeve a little bit more, you know, and God will work out the rest. those people would just not want to be around you. Why? Because they would rather be of the world. God will move them away from you, you know, and you'll see who your real friends are, the people that are in your corner, even when it's not easy, even when there's a cost to it. Okay? Let's pray. And then we'll get out of here. All right? I know it's hot. I'll mention something about the AC.